Your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're talking about Thanksgiving this morning, and I want to preach to you on why Christians should always be thankful. You're here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18. Chapter 5 follows chapter 4 naturally. Chapter 4 is talking about the rapture of the church, when we are soon going to be called out of this world. But while we are awaiting that, our attitude is to be that of chapter 5. We are not to know, we don't know the day and the hour, no man does. But we do know the times and the seasons. And this world is fast winding down. This world's not got much longer to go. And we as Christians, we're told, even though we're living in the last days, and how difficult it would be, and how hard it would be, in verse 16, we're told to rejoice evermore. Because where are we going? Heaven. To pray without ceasing. Why? Because the God of our salvation is our Heavenly Father. And then, verse 18, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I don't know what's going on in your life, and you don't know anything going on in my life, but I will tell you that the Bible says no matter what's going on in our life, God has ordained it, God has allowed it, God has planned it, and we are to give thanks for it. That's easy to say. It's a lot more difficult to do. Let me give you some reasons why we would not be thankful. Number one, of course, is sin. If there's sin in your life, the fellowship is not what it should be. And until that fellowship is restored, you're not on talking terms. And if you're not on talking terms, you really can't be thankful, can you? So number one, check our lives for sin and make sure there's no unconfessed sin in our lives. That there's anything God's dealing with, that we're willing to take care of it. Amen? The next thing is pride. We think we deserve it. And pride is a sin, I understand that. But we think we deserve it. We think it's owed to us. My friend, God didn't owe us anything when He died on that cross for us. He did it because He loved us. He kept His word. He promised He would because He loved us. He doesn't owe us. We owe Him. We are the debtors to Him. Or, right now, in this world the way it is, and lies, busy and hectic and all the things going on in the world, and the uncertainty of this world, and the turmoil and all, people get stressed out. And when you get stressed out, it's hard to give thanks. Because the stress is oppressing you and bringing you down. Or, the fourth one, because we think we've been abandoned. Because we didn't get things our way. Because we don't like the circumstances we're going through. Because we don't like the direction our life is taken. And we pray and ask God to change it. And He doesn't, because it's His will for us at that point in time. And we feel like we've been abandoned. And then you don't give thanks either. The Christian ought not be in those areas. Amen? Now, we do get in those areas, but shame on us when we do. We ought to live in that, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I want to give you five reasons this morning, just five quick reasons this morning, on why Christians should always be thankful. We'll be in Revelation 7. These will all come out of chapter 7 there. We'll be going elsewhere with these. But you'll see in Revelation 7, there's five things that we're reminded there as we look forward to eternity of why we should always, at all times, in all circumstances, be thankful. Amen? Father, I thank You for this Thanksgiving season, Lord, as we prepare to go into the Christmas season. It seems fitting that it should start with a season of Thanksgiving, where we remember how much You loved us and You went to that cross for us and all the blessings You have given to us, Father. We get so self-centered sometimes we forget how good You've been to us. We forget how much You've forgiven us. We forget how many times You've blessed us over and over and over again. How many days in our lives You've fed us every single day. You've clothed us. You've watched over us, Father. The times we thought maybe it was over, that things were going to fall apart, but yet You kept things together, Father. You are a great God, and You are in control of our lives. Those that are saved here, we are Your children, and we are headed to heaven, and we are in Your care. And nothing can happen to us that is not ordained, allowed, planned by You for the cause of Christ, for the cause of souls. So help us, Father, to remember that. Encourage our hearts to be thankful this morning, Father. I ask in My Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Revelation chapter 7, look at me at verse 9. We're into heaven. The rapture takes place in chapter 4. And beyond that point, we're seeing what's happening in heaven. And of course, the tribulation that's happening on the earth and the seals and those things happening. Here in chapter 7, it's back to looking to heaven again. At verse 9, after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And the angels stood round about the throne, about the elders and the four beasts, and fell down before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might, be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I want to give you out of here five things. Five reasons to encourage you why we as Christians should always be thankful. I know no doubt that you've got burdens in your heart today, that you're stressed out, that things in the world, family things, job, health, finances, all tend to... But those are all things of this world. Amen? We're headed to a place beyond this world. And this picture in time, we will already be there by chapter 7 of Revelation. So the first thing I want to point out to you there in verse 9, the first part of that verse is, and I, after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. Now where did this multitude come from? Which no man could number. It's going to be as the stars of heaven, the sand of the sea, too many to number. They're of all nations. They're of all kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne. These are the saved, the saints that are in heaven. And they come from every nation on the earth. God is no respecter of person. Any person of any nation, any background, any ethnicity that comes to Christ for salvation, He will save. Amen? So the first thing we can be thankful for is we're saved. Because we're saved, we know we'll be in that great multitude in the hereafter. Amen? We're part of a great multitude. We're not going to be alone there. It's not going to be a few. I know there'd be more lost than would be saved, but those that are saved since the beginning of time is still a great multitude which no man could number. Jews and Gentiles of all nations, all backgrounds, all walks. Isn't that wonderful? There's no one that God can't save if they'll turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe. And if you believed, then you are part of a great multitude. Look at John 3. We're coming back to Revelation 7, so you want to keep your marker there. But I want to look at some scriptures here with you rather quickly this morning on each of these points here. John chapter 3. You know these verses, but I want to remind you that salvation is for whosoever will. It's for all men. Thank God if you're saved, it's included in you, but it includes everyone else you know too. Anyone you know that will come to Christ, God will save. You are saved. You're part of the great multitude. Your mission now is to invite others to come join you and be part of that great multitude. Your mission now is to live in such a way that they see your thankfulness, they see your gratitude, they see your service because you love them so much in return for all He's forgiven you. That whatever He would ask, you would say, thy will be done. Amen? On earth as it is in heaven. In John 3 verse 15, that whosoever of any nation, any people, any tongue, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, all nations, all people, all tongues, all backgrounds, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, all nations, all people, all tongues, aren't you glad? That includes us, amen? We're in America, we're a mixed multitude. We come from all kinds of it. If I ask you where your descendants came from, we would have nations from all around the world mixed in with us. Amen? We'd be a mixed breed. It's what we are. But He included us. Aren't you glad? And whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Aren't you glad that you're a whosoever? Everybody you know is a whosoever. Perhaps the only reason they're not included yet is maybe they haven't been told. If there's someone in your circle of family or friends or co-workers or neighbors, make sure they know who you serve, who you belong to, how much He forgave you, and how much He'll forgive them. Amen? Perhaps you have told them. Well, keep telling them. Keep praying for them. And keep living a life for Him in front of them. Amen? And that. Look at Acts 10. Acts chapter 10. And look at me at verse 43. To Him give all the prophets witness that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. Perhaps you're here this morning and you don't yet believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not saved. I want you to know you are whosoever that He included. If you will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Look at me at Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're willing to come confess your sin, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and not from that heart, look at verse 9, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you're willing to come confessing and believing, He's willing to do the saving. Amen? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. I'm so glad because when I came to Him, I was a whosoever. Amen? I'm a nobody. But He's somebody who gave His life for nobody. Amen? He loves everybody. He loved this nobody enough to make me part of His family to make me somebody. 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begatteth loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. It's whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. If you believed, then you're born of God. Amen? And your mission now is to realize He died for everyone else. He loves everyone else as much as He loves you. That He wants to forgive them as much as He wanted to forgive you. That we are no better than that. He loves us all equally. Amen? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we should be thankful because He did it. He kept His word. We sinned. We violated His word. We broke His commandments. We offended Him. And yet He came to that cross to become sin for us, He who knew no sin, that we might be called the sons of God. Isn't that reason to be thankful for right there, number one? If I stop right there, isn't that enough reason? Isn't that enough right there? Amen. Number two, back in Revelation 7, verse 9, He says, the people in tongues, they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Look down at verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying to me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I understand the great tribulation is that seven period after the rapture. But I will also tell you that every Christian that came to Christ came out of great tribulation. Because you wrestled over your salvation. Was it true? Did God mean it? Am I really a sinner? I'm no worse than anybody else. All those things that weigh upon our heart before we came to Christ, amen? And the sin that ensnared us, when we came to Him, He saved us out of all that, didn't He? But I want you to look. When you came to Christ, you did not have a white robe. Amen? Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. He made those garments white. We are clothed in His righteousness And that is why we can be thankful. If it depended upon my righteousness or yours, we would not make it. We would not be able to serve Him. We would not be able to please Him, because we have all our righteousness is as filthy rags. We need His. That can only come from the cleansing of the blood that can make us to have those robes pure white. Look at Isaiah 61. Again, we're coming back to Revelation 7, so keep your finger there. But Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, look at me in verse number 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. We are the saved. We are the bride of the Christ. Christ is the bridegroom, and He has adorned us with His righteousness. Without His righteousness, we would not be pure enough to be His wife. But with His righteousness, we are as pure as a new fallen snow. Amen? We are as pure as a newborn baby. Amen? We are clothed in the righteousness. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And look at me, if you would, at verse 30 and 31. But if Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according that is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. He was made our righteousness. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Them robes of white washed in the blood represent the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that He has imparted, imputed to us, without which we could not stand before God. Amen? We can be thankful that all our sins are gone and God sees us because of the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness. God sees us righteous. Amen? Oftentimes, we don't see one another that way because we still see the flesh. But God sees the soul. Philippians 3. Philippians 3 and verse number 9. And being found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Turn to Titus 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Revelation 3. Revelation chapter 3. It's because of His righteousness that we can be thankful. We have none of our own. Verse 5, Revelation 3, the church in Sardis here, he says to all believers, He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out His name of the book of life, but I will confess His name before my Father and before His angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Thank God, because of His righteousness, our name is in the book of life. Because of His blood. I personally believe it's written there in His blood. Amen? It cannot blot out. Those blotted out, I believe, are blotted out by the blood because they wouldn't come by way of the blood. Amen? But those that have come by way of the blood, it's written in blood. Aren't you glad? That can never be changed. Thank God. Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Here is the victorious return of our Lord, the rapture, and then the tribulation. And at the close of that tribulation, He comes to earth to rule and to reign on the throne of David for 1,000 years. To be victorious. And if you look at verse 9, chapter 19 rather than verse 8. And who's the wife? The Lamb here it says. And to her, well look at verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now it's not our own, it's his. Amen? Verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him, from whose face, he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:14. In verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, we're not going to fight in that battle. We're just going to witness it. Amen. He's going to speak the word, and it's going to be over. Amen. But we're there. Why? Why are we able to ride with him? Because we are clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Because we are righteous. Because we have his righteousness. Because of his shed blood. Because of his forgiveness of sins. We are clothed in Christ's righteousness. So we can be thankful this morning. We always should be as Christians. Because number one, we're saved. Number two, we're clothed in Christ's righteousness as a result. Amen. Number three, Revelation 7. And look at me, if you would, at verse 15, the first part of that verse. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. We're going to serve him for all eternity. Isn't that going to be wonderful? That we, the bride, will serve the bridegroom, our husband, for all eternity. That's why in Ephesians he talks about the place of the man and the woman in the home. It's a picture of the bride in Christ. It's a picture of eternity. When the bride serves Christ for all eternity. You'll see he has his part two here in a moment. But look at me. As we serve him, look at me in Psalms 100. Back in Psalms 100. And verse number 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. May I say to you that part of our thanksgiving, part of our service is when we come together and we sing his praises. Or when you're by yourself and you're just fellowship with the Lord and you break out into song, serving him in his presence with song. Singing comes from a heart that's rejoicing. Amen? A heart that's thankful when we praise him and worship him. And we're going to do that. We're going to do that for all eternity before his throne and serve him. We ought not wait till then, by the way. We ought to start it now. We're going there. Amen? We know we're going there. So we should serve the Lord with gladness. His request should not be burdensome to us. They should be a blessing that he has chosen us to serve him. Whatever walk of life he has us to take, wherever our path takes us, we ought to feel worthy that he has chosen us. That he has called us with a calling. Look at Revelation 22. Revelation 22. And look at me, if you would, at verse number 3. We're going to serve him for all eternity. And there shall be no more curse, but a throne of God, and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Now, we are the bride of Christ. We are the wife, amen, of the Lord Jesus Christ at this point in time. The marriage is over. We are now his wife. And for all eternity, our mission will be to serve the bridegroom. It's a honeymoon that's going to last for all eternity. Amen? How wonderful it's going to be that he would count us worthy to be forgiven and to dwell in his presence forever, to be married to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be his wife, and to serve him for all eternity. Now, that's the third point. Now, the fourth point, back in Revelation 7, is his portion of that. He's the bridegroom. He's the husband. He will forever take care of us. Amen? That's the picture of the husband in the Scriptures. And in Ephesians 5 and 6 there, that's the picture in the home. It's the husband who's to be the guardian, the provider, the one who takes care. Look, if you would, here at verse number 15. It says, and he that sitteth upon the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's what Christ is going to do for us for all eternity. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have that right now. There are times right now in this world when you go without things and you struggle. It won't be like that in heaven. Amen? He will be providing for you for all eternity. Look at chapter 22, or 21 rather. Revelation 21. Look at verse number 1 here. The tribulation is over. The millennial reign is over. And God's now making a new earth and a new heaven. In verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's the church and Christ, the bride and the bridegroom. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. What does He mean by that? It means He's the one who's going to take care of us forever. He's going to honor us as the weaker vessel, because we are. When we are weak, He is strong. Amen? He knows we can't do it without Him. That's why we need His salvation, His righteousness. Amen? When we get to heaven, He's going to be the husband. We're going to be the wife. But He's going to be the one to take care of us. He will never fail us. He will always take care of us. Every day. Or all the way. In verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And behold, He has sat upon the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Aren't you glad our God's a faithful God? The Lord Jesus Christ will be a faithful husband. And it said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's the father-son relationship. There's also the bride and bridegroom relationship. Amen? And there's different pictures there giving us that. So the fourth point, he'll take care of us. We have the salvation we can be thankful for. We're clothed in Christ's righteousness, that we as the bride will serve Him for all eternity, and He as the bridegroom will take care of us for all eternity. Isn't that wonderful? And my fifth point, my final point, back in Revelation 7 again, verse 10 and verse 12, heaven's going to be a place of music, the right kind of music, Spirit-filled music, Holy Spirit music, the music that honors and glorifies God by His church. And look at verse 10. And he cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the Lamb, upon the throne under the Lamb. And the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. I believe they've got palms in their hands there at the end of verse 9. I believe they're singing this as well as chanting. I believe we have a whole book in the Bible called Psalms. Amen. They talk about singing His praises. And I believe a lot of our service, the majority of our service for all eternity, is going to be to sing His praises. I'm going to read some verses to you. Well, before I do that, go to Ephesians 5. I want you to see that God is in favor of singing. He's in favor of music. He wants it in His churches. It's going to be in heaven. Amen? He wants us to be excited. He saved us. He's redeemed us. We're going to heaven. That's exciting, isn't it? I believe it is. Look at me at verse 19. When you're talking about a Spirit-filled believer now. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, followed by giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father and Him of our Lord Jesus Christ. Music is part of that thanksgiving. It's part of being thankful. When you pick up those songs, when you begin to sing those songs, it should stir your heart to be thankful, to realize how much we owe Him. how good He has been to us. Amen? Not only are we going to heaven, we're going to heaven as a family of God. Not as an outsider, but as family. Amen? We have been born into His family. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And look at me at verse number 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus by giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We're going to be singing His praises. We're going to be worshiping Him. We're going to have that privilege of singing His praises for all eternity. I can't carry a tune in a bucket right now. To you, it's a noise. To Him, it's joyful. But there, I believe, I'll hit every note. Amen? Who knows? I may even be allowed to play the harp up there. Now, if I played it down here right now, you wouldn't enjoy it. But up there, I may be given the privilege of playing the harp. Would that not be wonderful? I don't know what you're going to be doing in that choir, but you're going to have some part of that choir somewhere. Amen? It might be a bass, might be a tenor, I don't know. But you'll be in that choir somewhere. Listen to these verses out of Psalms this morning in closing. Thinking about how much God wants to hear His praises. That's going to be a large part of our service to Him, is to sing His praises for all eternity. Psalms 13, verse 6. I will sing unto the Lord, because He hath dealt bountifully with me. Psalms 30, verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For we would have none if He had not given us His holiness. Amen? Psalm 33, verse 2 and 3. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto Him with psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. The idea is to play excitedly. Amen? You're not timid about it. You're excited about it. Psalm 68, verse 4. Sing unto God. Sing praises to His name. Extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name, Jah, and rejoice before Him. Psalm 71 and verse 23. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto Thee, and my soul which Thou hast redeemed. Psalms 96 verse 1 and 2. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day. Psalms 98, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. Psalms 98, verse 5. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and with the voice of a psalm. Psalms 104, 33. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Psalms 105, verse 2. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Psalms 147, verse 7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. It would be wonderful if sometime we had somebody at church who could play the harp, wouldn't it? I'd love to hear that. If any of you can do that, well, I'd love to hear it. I can't. Psalm 149, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of saints, here as well as in eternity. Amen? When that great multitude of all nations and all people and all tongues that are in Christ are gathered. The real question is not, should we be thankful? For we know we should. The real question this morning is, are we thankful? And how thankful are we? Amen? Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Word thanksgiving. We're going to spend the next few days thinking of those that have blessed us this past year and blessed our lives. And rightfully, we should stop and give thanks. But don't forget to give thanks to the one that really made it all possible, the Lord Jesus Christ. For God the Father sent God the Son to redeem the lost creation. And as His children, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. He indwells us to lead us and to guide us. When He fills us, we are thankful. When we are not thankful, we are not filled. Don't you want to be filled? You'll know when you start giving thanks and appreciating what God's done and not just expecting God to do. Amen? But you give thanks in all things. We are to give thanks. We as Christians should always, always, always be known for being thankful. No matter what our circumstances. We are going to heaven, are we not? If you're here this morning and you don't know you're going to heaven. You don't know the joy of having your sins forgiven. You don't know what it means to be part of the family of God. You, this morning, have a great opportunity to be born into the family of God. He loves you. He died for you. He died for me. And anyone here who would not know Christ this morning, His invitation is, come unto Him and be saved. Amen? And Christian, if you want to please the Lord this season, make sure you really stop and give Him thanks from the heart and a thanksgiving life. Perhaps you may want to come on an altar this morning just to kneel there, and if no other reason, just to say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you for clothing me in your righteousness. Thank you for allowing me to be your wife, your bride. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for allowing me for all eternity to serve you and worship you and to sing your praises. Were it not for the blood of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I would not have that privilege. I trust this morning we'd all examine our hearts and we'd all give more thanks. Father, I thank you for this time of the year when we do stop and we pause and we are reminded how good you've been to us. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto us. And we're reminded, we should be reminded every day how your mercies are new every morning. We should be reminded every day and be thankful every day for the blessings we receive at your hand. For the salvation you've already given to those that have trusted in you. For the righteousness that you've clothed us in. The fact that you would choose us to be the bride of your Son. And that we would be able to call Him our bridegroom, our husband. And that we'd be able to all eternity sing your praises and worship you and serve you. Oh Father, may this Thanksgiving be a true Thanksgiving season for us as Christians. And if there's any here without the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior today, I pray you now, Holy Spirit, that your word is dealing with their heart. And they be drawn a moment of invitation to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. In whose name I do pray. Amen. Friend, if this message has been a blessing to you, or if we can help you in any way, please contact us at the Antrim Faith Baptist Church, P.O. Box 129, Zellinger, P.A., 17272, or if you're in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, visit us at our church, 248 West 2nd Street, Waynesboro, PA, 17268, at the lower level of the Renaissance Building. We'd love to have you stop in with us. If you'd like to email me, it's Pastor Herb, PastorHerb, at Embark, EMBARQ, mail, mail.com. Thank you very much for listening. Lord bless you and have a great day.